Good morning. It's lovely to see you all. I think Astrid said at the start, but in case she didn't, my name's Paul and I'm one of the ministers. And it's great to be here with you in the building, and it's great to be here with you if you're watching us online. To get us started this morning, I'd like to do a quick word association. Actually, it's a name association. I'm going to give you one or two names, and I'd like you to shout out, if you would, what's the first thought, the first connection that comes into your mind when I say these names? How about if I said Mother Teresa?
Hurricane.
I'm sorry?
Hurricane. Hurricane.
No, Mother Teresa.
But that was the first one.
Okay. Hurricane, sorry?
Hospitality.
Hospitality. You're messing up my illustration, people.
Compassion.
Thank you. Thank you, Beryl. I'm going to focus this way now. How about if I said Billy Graham? Preaching?
Evangelism?
I couldn't hear that one, sorry.
Faith?
Yep. Brilliant. What about, slightly more tricky one, how about if I said Rob Parsons? Family? Somebody said Care for the Family, which is the organisation he started. Yep. All right, let's come closer to home. How about if I said Chris McConnell? Worship or worship leader. Brilliant. Okay, well, that didn't quite work the way I expected to, but I'm going to take you to where I was going to try and get to. Did you notice, you probably didn't because it didn't quite happen, but did you notice that often what happens when you think about a person is that you don't necessarily think about what they're good at so much as what they're passionate about? I think we got it with, we did hear them in there. I mean, Mother Teresa is known for her passion for the poor and those who are in need and those who, she said it herself with her words were, she caring for the hungry, the naked, the homeless, the crippled, the blind, the lepers, all those people who feel unwanted, unloved and uncared for throughout society. She might have a whole load of other gifts. I don't know. I mean, Mother Teresa might have been a fantastic singer. No idea. She might have been a wonderful preacher. I don't know. But what she's remembered for is the things that she was passionate about. That desire, that inner drive that isn't in itself a spiritual gift, but that had a huge bearing on where Mother Teresa used her spiritual gifts. What she was passionate about determined where she used her spiritual gifts. I had a conversation not very long ago with somebody in TBC who is absolutely passionate about good stewardship, about making sure that we look after and do the best with the physical things that we have, the property that we have, and the things that we have within the property. Now, that passion isn't a spiritual gift, but it has determined where that person has used their spiritual gifts over years within this church. And this week we're picking up where Astrid left off last week. Astrid launched us into a new short teaching series that we're having over, I think, four Sundays, and we've called it The Perfect Fit. And it's about how we serve God within the church. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So when God designed you, he didn't crank the handle on the sausage machine and churn out another conveyor belt Christian or another conveyor belt human being. You were made with unique personality and proficiencies and purpose. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has created in advance for you to do. That's what it says there in Ephesians 2. So in other words, serving God in some way, shape or form, serving God is part of the purpose of your life. It is literally part of what you were made for. It was built into each of us at the design stage in God's heart, was the ways that we were going to serve him. And if we don't discover those good works that God created for us or prepared for us in advance, and if we don't throw ourselves into them, there will always be a sense of something missing in our lives. That there'll be a frustration, there'll be a lack of fulfillment, because it's something that we have been made for. Each one of us has been made for something. Actually, God made each one of us for lots of somethings. It's good works, plural, in that verse. And so this series, this 4 weeks, is about finding and following that part of God's plan in our lives. It's about finding out what those good works are that we were created for. And we called it the perfect fit because two of the great pictures of the church in the Bible are pictures that highlight this idea that the way we are shaped, we're all shaped differently, but we are shaped to fit together in a perfectly designed way to make up the church. In 1 Peter 2, it says, "You are like living stones being built into a spiritual house." That's a powerful picture, isn't it? Living stones being built together into a spiritual house. And if one of those stones is absent, what happens to the wall that it's a part of? What happens to that part of the spiritual house that that stone belongs to? And in 1 Corinthians 12, and this is a passage that I'm sure we'll mention a few times in this series, it describes us as being like a body, with each one of us being different organs, different sinews, different muscles, different parts of that body. God made each of us to play a part. What happens to the body if we don't play the part he's created us for? Or perhaps more profoundly, what happens to us if we don't play the part that he created us for? You know, a kidney playing the part of the kidney within a human body, it's fully alive. It's connected to the nerves and the blood supply and the life of the body. But a kidney that's separated from the body, not playing a part, a kidney that's sitting on a mantelpiece, well, that's just awful. Sorry. So Astrid summed up the vision behind this series last week when she said this. She said, "Progress in church life happens when all of our God-given gifts are being used by all of us within the life of the church." That's how church is designed to work. And last Sunday she talked about the fact that every single one of us has God-given gifts. And today I want to move on from there and expand on that and think about the fact that every single one of us also has God-given passions. We have God-given gifts, but we also have God-given passions. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just a verse really, or a couple of verses. In 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul is talking about being an apostle, and he says this in verses 16 to 18. "When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me." Do you see the language that he's using there? Let me read it again. It's such a short verse. Let me read it once more. "When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." He's not saying, "Look what a great preacher I am. I have got such a gift of preaching." That's not what Paul's saying. What he's saying is there is something inside me which is going to explode if I don't preach the gospel. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. It's a passion. It's something that's different from a gift, but it's a passion that God has placed inside him to make Jesus known. Let's take another example from here at TBC, people that I'm sure you all know well. If you were to speak to Wendy or to Tim or one of the other members of the frontline team, you'll find a passion for financial justice. You'll find a passion for those people that are caught in the trap of poverty and debt and unfair financial systems. And of course, each of them have gifts as well that they're using in the work of frontline. And they have everyone on the team has lots of knowledge and skills that they have deliberately gone out and sought to gain so that they can do that kind of work effectively. But there's an underlying passion that caused them to use those gifts in that particular area of ministry. They could have taken the same natural gifts and the same spiritual gifts, and they could each person on that team could have used them in very different areas in church life. And they'd have still been serving God, but their God-given passion was like a magnetic attraction, if you like, that caused them, that led them, that compelled them to use the gifts they'd been given in a particular area of ministry and of church life. So gifts are to do with our abilities that God has given us, but the passions are to do with something more emotional. It's a more gut-level thing. But it is also something, I firmly believe this, it is something that is also God-given. Those passions are something that God has placed inside us. In Philippians 2, Philippians 2 verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." God stirs up something inside each one of us to will and to act where he wants us to. I think one way that might be helpful to look at this is that God is big enough to care with all of his heart about every need, every cause, every injustice, every project, every program, every area of good work and ministry. God is big enough to embrace all of that in his heart and to care equally about all of it. But we're not. We're not. We're more limited. And so God shares a bit of his heart with each one of us. He shares different aspects of what he cares about with each one of us. It may be that he's placed into you a passion for reaching those who haven't heard about Jesus. It may be that he's placed into you a passion for translating the Bible into languages where there currently is no Bible. It may be that he's placed into you a passion for feeding the hungry. It's some aspect of his heart that he puts inside the hearts of each one of us. And it's no accident that we care about these things a bit differently. That's part of God's design of us as human beings, as his children. Do you ever get those letters or emails? I get quite a lot of these now, I'm a minister. Do you ever get those letters or emails that talk about some particular cause or charity or need, and they're written with a subtext that basically says, if you really love Jesus, you will care about this as much as I do. And then there's normally a pregnant pause left so that you can write a check at that point. And of course you don't. Not every time. And not about every cause. And it's not that you don't agree that it's a good cause. It's not that you don't agree that it's something that God cares about passionately. But you can't make every cause something that's close to your heart. That's absolutely fine. That's the way we're designed. That's the way God has made us to be. What matters is identifying those causes that God has placed close to your heart. And probably also what matters is recognizing that the causes which are close to other people's hearts are equally important. They're just not the thing that is put next to your heart. And those passions can take all sorts of different forms. It may be a God-given desire to meet a particular need for other people when you see that need. It might be that you are strongly motivated to be part of doing church particularly well in one area of church life. It might be a godly anger at some form of injustice. It might be that you feel particularly drawn towards sharing the love of God with a particular type of person or people in a particular situation. It might be that something inside you just longs to see people being set free from addiction or from debt or from some other thing that binds their lives up and stops them from experiencing the kind of freedom that Jesus wants them to have. It might be that you feel messages from God are almost bursting out of you and that you would join with the Apostle Paul in that passage I just read and said, "Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel." That might be your passion as well. But it helps us to understand where God might be leading us to use our gifts. Helps us to understand where Years ago, many years ago now, I was part of quite a large church in South Manchester, a church which had congregations in different parts of the city. And I'd been there since I'd been a student, and I was involved in running all sorts of different parts of the youth and children's work. I was involved in a number of different youth and children's groups. And if you'd asked me, I would have said, my passion is working with children and young people. I love it. It's something that God's given me to do. This is what I've been made for. And then they asked me to join the leadership team of the congregation that I was part of. And that was really flattering. I think I was 21, maybe 22, and I would have been the youngest leader in that church by about 20 years. And that really stroked my ego, if I'm honest. And I thought, I could be a leader. How cool would that be? It took me a while to realize that if I did that, I would have to stop doing a whole load of the things that God had put a passion in me to do. And that at that time, that really wasn't the right thing for me to do. And ultimately I said no, because God had given me a passion for working with children and young people, and I wasn't going to stop doing that so that I could do something that was going to stroke my ego. So as we try to discover our perfect fit, which is what this series is all about, our God-given gifts are about what God has enabled us to do, and our God-given passions help us to work out where he might be leading us to use those gifts. Now, that's kind of the end of the sermon, but it's not the end of the sermon, so don't think you're about to leave. I want to keep this series really, really practical and really down to earth and grounded. And so what I want to do is I want to address two or three possible misunderstandings over the next few minutes, if I may. Let's take a couple of these. Does God only give us passions to do things within church? I would say no, absolutely not. Going back to that church in Manchester, one of the elders at the time that I was part of that church, one of the elders was a nurse. And he was very, very clear and outspoken about the fact that for him, nursing wasn't just a job, it was a calling from God. It was something that he felt extremely passionate about, and pursuing it and being the best nurse that he could be was an act of worship to God as far as he was concerned. And I can't quote him exactly because it's too many years ago, but basically what he said was, I believe that God has put me here in nursing to make a difference for him and to be his presence in this profession. And so, my friend sometimes said no to things within church that he would have enjoyed doing and that he had all the gifts to do. He would have done extremely well because they would have given him less time and energy to pursue what he believed was his call from God into nursing and to be the best nurse he could be. God also did give him a passion for other things in church life. I mean, he was an elder of the church. He was very involved. He was also a very pastoral, caring man, as you'd probably expect from somebody that was called into nursing. And he did use those gifts within the church. But there were times that he had to say no to things because it would have been detrimental to what he knew was God's call on his life. I've known other people who have been very clear that what they do Monday to Friday is what they do to pay the bills, and actually God's call on their life is something separate. And this is just to enable that. But for my friend in Manchester, those two things went side by side. By the same token, God might give you a passion for a particular good cause or ministry or mission, and because you feel passionately about it, you want the whole church to feel passionately about it. And one of the more difficult jobs that occasionally we have to do as leaders is when we receive a letter saying, I think this cause is really, really, really important and a really good cause, and if you all love Jesus as much as I do, you would say that the whole church needs to get behind this cause. And sometimes that's right, and sometimes, actually, we have to say, it's a fantastic cause, but it's not a cause that we feel that it's right for the whole church to get behind with the passion that you have for it, because God gives us different passions. And when you hear that, it can feel rejecting, but it's not rejecting. It's just a recognition that God gives us different passions. Can I address a second misunderstanding? I'm older, and therefore this series isn't really relevant to me because I've done my bit and now I've stepped back. And we are blessed within our church family to have a good number of people who are in their 70s and 80s and 90s and who have served God faithfully for decades. And I'm looking over to this side of the room more. I want to honour you and I want to thank you for those years of service. Whether you felt appreciated at the time or not, whether it's felt noticed or not, you have served God and you have served his kingdom and you have gone the extra mile in so many ways, and it is not forgotten and it is not missed. And thank you on behalf of this church and on behalf of other churches where you have done that. It's not missed. And we are not preaching this series to try and persuade you that you ought to be playing dodgeball with the teenagers. That is not what I'm here trying to say. Nor am I trying to persuade you that you ought to be taking on responsibilities that you no longer feel enabled or energized to take on. But I want to say something, and I'm saying this with the humility of somebody who has not been through the season in life that you are in, and I'm very happy for you to come and tell me if you think I'm wrong. But I don't believe that God has put any single one of you out to pasture. I don't believe that. You still have those God-given passions. It's a different season, and they get worked out differently. And some of you have an energy and vigour that belies your age. There's a 90-year-old in the church that I've had to plead with not to climb on the furniture so she can reach the top cupboards in the kitchen. Yet some of you are incredibly energised and wanting to carry on with things. And others of you, it's a different season. And that's absolutely fine. But you still have those God-given passions. And you may not have the physical energy that you once did, but what you have to offer in terms of wisdom, and what you have to offer in terms of encouragement, and what you have to offer in terms of prayer, is a goldmine to the body of Christ. And you may have, for instance, you may have a passion for worship. And you might be thinking, if I was 30 years younger, I'd be leading worship, but I just don't feel I can do that anymore. But out of that passion for worship, you can say, hey, Simon, I love worship. How can I encourage you? How can I pray for you? How can I support you? How can I still play a part in what God is doing here, even if it isn't the part I used to play? I really hope this isn't sounding patronizing. With all my heart, it's not intended to. But I don't believe that God puts people out to pasture. I do believe that seasons change. In Romans 11, 29, it says that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. In other words, he doesn't put us out to pasture. But there are seasons in life, and there are seasons in life when we use those gifts and we express those passions in a different way. And I think it's important that we acknowledge and recognise that. The role may have changed, but the part you play in the body of Christ isn't over. It doesn't go away. One last misunderstanding that I want to address. It would sound like this. Paul, I've heard what you're saying. It's all about passion. I never need to do anything in church again if I don't feel passionate about it. I'm glad you laughed, because that's not how it works. We are still first and foremost called to be servants. Servants of God and servants of one another. And that means rolling our sleeves up and doing something because it needs to be done, not just because it feels good doing it. And if I'm honest, I love my job, I love what I do, I feel passionate about ministry, and I feel passionate about church, and I feel passionate about youth work, and I feel passionate about leadership, and so many of the tasks that I have to do, I actually do feel passionate about. But I also spend about 50% of my week doing things that I don't feel at all passionate about doing. They just need to be done. Of course I do. And of course you do as well. It's not just about those things that we're passionate about. But those other areas of service, of sacrifice, if you like, they're given meaning and perhaps made more tolerable Because alongside them are the areas that are expressions of the bit of God's heart that he's placed inside us. But yeah, woe to me if I don't play dodgeball with teenagers. What about if I have no idea what my passions are? What about if I'm sitting here wondering whether I actually have any? And of course, one of the things I would say to that is, let's pray. And in a couple of moments, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I want to pray for anyone who's feeling that way specifically. But I think what Astrid said last week about gifts applies in exactly the same way to passions. Last week, Astrid said, if you have no idea what your gifts are, you can either sit back in your deck chair waiting for God to dump a bucket of gifts on her head. I'm paraphrasing Astrid at this point. Or you can get stuck in. Because once you get stuck in, you are far more likely to be signposted by God to the areas of gifting that he is giving you. And I think it's exactly the same with our passions. You might be feeling right now, passions? Nah, I haven't got any passions. Try a couple of things. Get stuck into something. I am sure that fairly quickly you'll find that you catch the bug for something, or you try something and think, no, this really isn't me. This is really not something that I feel strongly about. But maybe what starts off as an act of sacrificial service will become your woe to me if I don't do this. Woe to me if I don't help out at the food hub so I can serve people when they're going through a hard time. Well, woe to me if I don't join the health and safety team and make sure that all our activities are done in a safe way. Woe to me if I don't become a BFG leader and show seven-year-olds that there's a safe and welcoming and loving place here for them. Woe to me if I don't volunteer to help on the sound desk. Or whatever your passion given by God is. Let's pray, shall we? Let's all pray. I've talked for a while. Why don't you all stand with me if you feel able to stand? Rather than asking a few people to stand and respond, let's all stand and then respond before God how you feel led. Holy Spirit, would you visit us now in your power? Lord, we believe that you are a God who feels strongly about things, that you feel strongly about the lost who need to know you, that you feel strongly about injustice, that you feel strongly about doing things in the best way we can do them. And thank you that you share those strong feelings with us. You share those passions with us. Lord, I want to pray for anyone who has been listening to me for the last few minutes and thinking, I have no idea what passions I have that God's given me. Lord, I want to pray that you would visit them and start to stir something up within them. Lord, I want to pray that you would reveal your heart for whatever area it is, whatever ministry it is, whatever people it is, whatever cause it is. I pray that you would start to stir something up inside us. Lord, I pray that we would be a passionate people. Not a people that serve you out of duty, not a people that serve you out of guilt. Not a people that serve you out of the feeling that we better do this. But a people that serve you out of sensing your passion for where your kingdom is extending. Sensing your passion for where you want your people to be putting right injustices. Sensing your passion for those people that you call us to care about and to love in the name of Jesus. Sensing your passion for your church, which is the bride of Christ, and which you want to be beautiful in every way for you. And Lord, I pray against that inner passion killer, which comes from a sense of feeling, I can't make a difference. I've got nothing to offer. In the name of Jesus, we declare that that is a lie, that every single one of us is called and gifted and given a bit of your heart to express in the way we use our gifts. And so we come against that light in the name of Jesus. And where we've worn that as a label over our hearts, say, I have nothing to offer. We choose to remove that label and accept your truth that you have given every single one of us a part to play in the body. That every single one of us is a living stone being shaped into a spiritual building. And we choose to be the people that you have created us to be. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and stir us up, that you would deliver us from duty, that you would deliver us from guilt, that you would deliver us from drudgery in serving you, and that you would release your passion inside us. In Jesus' name, Amen.